Good morning, Northgate. So happy to be with you this morning. Those of you that have been here a while know that this is my first time at this hour during the service to come forth and share, and so it's humbling. I'm very humbled by it. I really do believe that it's God's favor. And I also want to thank the pastor and the eldership of this church who has confidence also that I will continue to walk in the Lord and that the word will be shared this morning. I'm just really overjoyed to be a part of this service in this way. So many people in this room, talented, gifted, and I don't know about you, but whenever you have an opportunity to share your gifts and your talents, particularly for God, there is just a certain awesomeness for God, and that He would use us this way. I'm filled, overjoyed. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And I feel that. I feel that genuinely. I feel that. And I hope that you feel that too. If you do not feel a certain joy about the Lord, if you do not feel a gladness when it comes to coming to the house of the Lord, I would say that you're probably missing out on something. And that something is the Spirit of God. Invite Him in, let Him have His way, make certain that you give Him room to operate and to fill you. Certainly, there is joy in the presence of the Lord. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And it's joy that used to say, joy that the world didn't give me and that the world can't take away. The joy that I feel is not because of homes or houses or riches or treasure. It's because of the Lord and the Lord's Spirit. That is the fullness of joy that which I speak. And so I'm just so thankful to be with you on this morning. I have plenty to be happy about. I celebrated another birthday on Friday. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And so my wife wakes with me and kisses me and says bye, and leaves me with our daughter. And you see her hair this morning. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. I was trying to braid that thing. That's harder than it looks. So praise God. If you see her looking rough, man, I'm glad that her mom is coming home soon. Mom is coming home soon. So I sought the Lord, of course, this week and in prayer, just praising God. And He sent me to Joshua. And if you have your Bibles with you, some of you tablets, some of you smartphones, but if you have your Bible, I'm going to turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. If you have it, say amen. So, see a few pages, roughly. And the word reads as thus. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise. Go up to Ai, see, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. Be ye all ready, mighty men of valor. Let us pray. I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I thank you for your presence, Lord, your presence. We just ask you to have your way, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, that the word would be hidden in our hearts, Lord God, that we might not sin against thee. We thank you, Lord God, that you will share by your spirit. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Church, say amen. Amen. And so, God sent me to this passage to find this term, valor. Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor, and here we find the term valor, and we find the men of valor, and I believe today we will understand what it means to manifest valor in the things of God. If anything, I want you to understand that God understands that the world, too, has men and women who are brave, who are strong, who have courage. It's not limited just to the men and women of God. It is also in the world that we find men that are courageous and strong, and women who are bold and mighty. We find that in the world also. And I submit to you that mankind, all of mankind, are drawn to those types of qualities. They are drawn to people who show strength and show courage and are able to go forth in boldness. The world does that, and I submit that the reason why so many people are turned to the world is because there are folks in the world who are showing bravery and courage. And that is the thing that we ought to do in the church. Valor, be valiant. Who is not drawn to the person who waves their finger at God? Who boldly stands before God and says, I will do it my way, in my terms, my rules. And bold enough to stand before God and do that. It's winning over people to the way of the world. Young people are going away from the church because they see folks boldly standing before God and waving their finger and say, I will do it my way. It's the very essence of Babylon. God said in Genesis, he said, there is nothing they purpose to do that will be impossible for them. And so there are people of valor that are willing to be courageous, to stand for what they believe in. We want the church to stand for what it believes in. We want the church to stand boldly. The sin that we see in the world, we read the psalmist in Psalm 19, he says, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And so I'm one to believe that every sin is not the same, but sin is sin. And this presumptuous sin is the sin that says, I will do what I want. Despite what you say, I know that what I'm doing is wrong, and yet I will do it. Testing God. Testing His judgment. Testing the sovereignty of God. The presumptuous sin. And the psalmist says, please, Lord, keep the presumptuous sin from me. Let them not have dominion over me. We're talking about valor in Jesus Christ. And folks in the world, I just believe that there are so many of them that know they are wrong. Know they are wrong. Know when they are walking away from God. Know when they are walking in rebellion to the Lord. And yet we as Christians, we want to protest this and protest that, and with angry protests and signs and just vitriol, proclaim the sinner and judge them and you're going to hell and so on and so forth. And just a bonus question. Who is the accuser of man before God? That's right. Let that marinate, because I want you to understand that accusing men before God is Satan's job. That's not our job. That's Satan's job. God is judge, and He is also Savior. God's job is to judge. Our job is to love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to stay in our lane. We are out fighting and cussing and protesting and making such a hullabaloo and failing to live the life that God has called us to. If we were living the life that God called us to, we would find folks running to the church, running to praise Him, and running with an understanding of what God has done, and understanding that He has died for our sins, that He bled, and His bones were broken, and He did it all because He loved the world. The Word tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that soever believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our job is to love. Amen? That's what we are called to. That's what we are called to. So God recognizes that not every man of valor is on the Lord's side. God speaking to Joshua. The Lord describes the army of Jericho as being made of men of valor. And as you review God's leading the people against Jericho, you realize that it's more about a spiritual victory than it is about a political one. It's more about the Spirit. God so loved the world. Are you ready? Jericho came and was filled with the people who worshipped other gods. They worshipped one for rain and another for harvest and another for fertility. And there's something about this God having come through the Amorites and the Moabites and now to Jericho that gives testimony about how great our God is. And we should have that testimony about how great our God is. It should not be hard for you to reach back and give someone a testimony about why you believe the Lord God is one. So what about this term valor? I looked in my translation in Hebrew, and I found what one would expect for us to find there. Might, strength, power. It's also used of the entourage that the Queen of Sheba brought with her as she sought out Solomon to ask him deep questions. And so the idea of wealth and richness comes along with the term valor. In addition to being valiant and virtuous, is this idea of riches and wealth and might and strength and power. But my lexicon also said that the word is derived from a verb meaning to spin. To be strong and whirling as if in labor, to birth, to produce. Just marinate on that for a while. If we are to do the things of God in valor, we are to do them with power and with strength and birth and produce the things of God with substance and richness. Are you ready this morning to be a man of valor? We're somehow missing the substance in the church. We have men and women preaching for entertainment and choirs and bands playing for entertainment. I can look on the TV and see gospel singers competing for entertainment's sake. There's something that the world sees is missing that's not substantive in the church of God. And if we want to be valiant, if we want to be men, women of valor in the church, we ought to be doing something of substance, with strength and with power and bringing forth something. We should be birthing something in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of that is in the word valor. We want folks to come running to the house of the Lord, finding that that in exchange for their sorrow, there's gladness. That in the midst of their pain, God has a balm in Gilead. That there is solution. That there is power and glory and strength in the Word of God. And that's what they should be understanding when they see us. That's what our calling is. That's what we are called to. I was reading further, and we might get there, we may not, but Achan didn't obey God's word and Joshua's commandment. If you remember the story, he took for himself some treasure that belonged to God. God said, I will have you devote this as an offering to me. Take none of it with you. Don't take this thing that I have devoted to destruction. And yet Achan, he saw the fine cloak and the silver and the gold, and he took it for himself. And reading, I found it very, very, very encouraging that where they took him is called the Valley of Achor. And there he was stoned for his transgression. He and all his family stoned, killed for his transgression against the Lord. And so God takes it very seriously. And they call that place the place of trouble. The place of trouble. And as I continue to read, I found in the scripture that God said that this very same place of trouble, this valley of Achor, shall be a door of hope. The very same place where you find your trouble, God said, I'll find you there and provide for you a door of hope. And so in this place where we come to worship and praise and sing his praises, people should come in trouble and find a door of hope. That's what we want the church to be. That's what we are doing when we are valiant in the Lord. He said, you will find a pasture for flocks. And every Wednesday, Thursday, some Tuesdays, but we have flock meetings during the week. A pasture for your flocks. That's what, the same place where you found trouble. Same place where I declare judgment, I will also be to you a door of hope. And so we find the God's men of valor in this chapter 8. And God is saying to Joshua, take the city, lay it to waste, and the bottom line is that they will win, just as they did before, because God has delivered the land into their hands. The Bible says, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king. And so if you hadn't read, if you didn't know, and you just came upon chapter 8 to start, you'll wonder, well, what was it that God did for them at Jericho? What he was asking them to do is to remember. What I did for you then, I will do for you again. If you want to be a man of valor, you ought to understand that God is able. The cities and the kings that the people of God were going up against were much larger, much more able. The soldiers were strong and of good courage themselves. And so it was only by God's hand that they were able to take the Amorites and the Moabites and now come to Jericho, and they sought and found that they followed God's command and the walls came down. Trust and believe that God is working on behalf of the man or woman of God who is desiring to birth the things of God. He said, be of good courage, be not dismayed. God is always working on behalf of the man or woman of God who wants to birth the things of God. And so you might be asking yourself this morning, well, why isn't God moving? Why don't I feel the Spirit? And so I want to ask you a question. Have you earnestly, honestly desired the things of God? You can't birth something in the Lord unless you're in the Lord. Are we being obedient to what God has already asked of us? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His message and His purpose hasn't changed. So you have to ask yourself, if God is not moving, then what is it that I'm doing? Am I blocking the blessing? Am I blocking the vision? Am I not seeking the Lord? Am I not giving Him room in my life? So God asked Joshua to remember, to recall Jericho. And by the time that we are in chapter 6, by God's hand, Joshua had already taken many kings before him. The men and people of Israel had already shown God's might and power, and now they had crossed the Jordan, standing on the precipice of entering Canaan, the land that God had promised them. But the water was high, I understand, for the Jordan at that time of year. the harvest rains had come and the snow was melting, and I imagine that the king of Jericho felt that he was safe. He said, how could these people, with the God of the mountains, how could they cross the river? How could they cross the River Jordan? And that might be the testimony that some of us have. People look at us and they say, how in the world are they managing? How are they doing it? Others look and say, there's no way that they'll cross over. How did he overcome that addiction? How did she get that position? If someone had done that to me, I might have hurt someone. I might have killed someone. I might have found charges and be behind closed bars. How did they manage to deal with that person that did them that way? If I was facing that kind of challenge, I would have been lost. I would have been depressed, lost in despair. How did they make it over? How did they get up from that? How did they overcome? How did they cross over the Jordan? And that's the testimony that we all have. People will look at us and wonder, how did you defeat that enemy? Larger than you, stronger than you, more capable than you, more resources than you. How did you defeat that enemy? How did you meet that charge? How did you meet that challenge? How are you able to get up from that? It's only because we serve a mighty God. And so God commanded him, and Joshua commanded the people. He said, let 7 priests go before you with 7 ram's horns before the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to compass about the walls of Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th day that you do it, I want you to do that 7 times. But the interesting part that I found about his command is in verse 10 of chapter 6. He says, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. And I just believe that as people of God, as men of God, we need to allow ourselves room to be taken by the awesomeness of God. We're always running from this place or that place, something to do, always want to be busy, always cooking up, stirring up something for ourselves, and never ever just being quiet before the Lord. I got to be somewhere. I got to do something. I'm busy right now. I'm on the phone. I'm on my tablet. I'm on the computer. I'm doing something and never taking the time to just be silent and quiet, worshipful, fearful even. And that thought came across, you know, just loud and clear to me. Fearful. And the root word, of course, for fear, it has 2 connotations. You could be just abstract, fearful, scared, terror. Or there is the connotation for the word fear that means reverence. To be in awe. To take God seriously. And that's the kind of fear that each one of us should have. We should take God seriously. God is not a plaything. God is not a deliverer of all the toys that you want. God doesn't seek to make sure that you have exactly what you want when you want it. That is not the God we serve. We need to take God seriously. I read in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, to take the Lord seriously, is the beginning of knowledge. It says that the fool despises wisdom and instruction. I'm sure you know somebody that you just can't tell them anything. No matter what you say, they have an answer for it. They won't listen. They won't stop. They won't take instruction. They won't humble themselves. And if we want to be men of valor, we have to learn to humble ourselves and be quiet, be silent sometime. Take God seriously. Worshipful. Fearful. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And I think we've misconstrued that a lot. It doesn't say hatred of people.
That's right.
It says hatred of evil. And not so much the evil that other people are doing, but the evil that is in your life. You won't get right with God. You won't decide to be in God's army. You won't decide to be a man of valor, a woman of valor. You won't be valiant, giving birth to the things of God, until you learn to hate evil. Hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Ecclesiastes says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So if you don't do anything else, if you don't understand God's charge to be anything more then keep His commandments, you know what it is that God is asking you to do. It says, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's all we are to do, is fear the Lord, keep Him in awe, take God seriously, and keep His commandments. So I have it. Remember God. Remember that what He did yesterday, He can do for you today. He certainly said, be not afraid. I am with you. He said, I will be with you till the end of His age, He said to His disciples. And surely today God has promised to be with us. He walks with us. God, at the table of the bread and wine today, we understand that in this age He lives within us. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. If you're feeling lost, or you're feeling that the storm is too great, or you're feeling that the challenge is too great, the wall is too high for you to get over, just take time to remember.
That's right.
If He did it for Meshach, Abednego, He can do it for you. If He delivered Daniel in the lion's den, He can do it for you. If He did it for any of God's children, He can do it for you. Nothing is too great for our God.
Amen.
But we have to remember. We have to remember. And so the second thing we learned was to revere, to take God seriously, to fear God, to keep Him in awe, to give Him reverence, to give Him the respect that is due, is the last point. Remember, revere, and respect the things of God. There was Jericho, and then in chapter 8, where we began to read, there was Ai. And so God had brought them through, and he had given them the land of Jericho seven times around, and then seven times on the seventh day. And then the horns blew, and the people shouted, and the walls came down. Remember God and remember to give Him praise. That is how you're going to get through some of your troubles, through some of the hard times, is to give praise to God anyhow. It may seem bleak, it may seem like things aren't going to work, but give God the praise anyhow. God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all honor. He is worthy to be praised. And so God commanded Joshua and the people of Israel very specifically. He said they would take the spoils of Ai. The spoils of Jericho were cursed and were devoted to the Lord for destruction. We talked about that. And so none of what they took in winning the war against Jericho, they would take none of that. The livestock, the people, the spoils, none of that. All of that would be dedicated to the Lord. It was accursed for destruction. Only the gold and silver and the riches, the iron, the brass, that would be given to God and put into God's treasury. But now in taking Ai, God says, you can have it all. Everything that you take in war, all of it belongs to you. First, the great victory in Canaan, the spoils were dedicated to the Lord. The spoils of Ai, they would be for the people. What does that remind you of? Give God what is due unto the Lord. Give to Him your tithe, your offering. Give to Him first fruits. You may not be walking in power. You may not be walking in strength. You may not know where the God is that we serve is in your life, because you refuse to give what God told you to give. And God took it very, very, very seriously. Achan and all of his family were stoned because he refused to give what God said is mine to God. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning, but let me move on. But in order to walk in valor, we have to be willing to give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. Now, in chapter 6, verse 18, God says, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, or we too will be cursed. So the flip side is there too. If you're willing to devote yourself to the things that are cursed, you will be cursed also. You can't continue to think that you are going to straddle the fence, that you are going to just give God just a little bit and be blessed a whole lot. And that's how we seem to do. We come to church on Sunday and forget about Him Monday through Saturday and think that we're going to be blessed a whole lot when we're giving God just what we feel is our duty. Fear the Lord. The duty of man is to keep all of His commandments. To walk valiantly in the Lord requires the fervor, the determination, the dedication that we had when we first accepted Him. Can you remember the day when you knew that you knew that you knew that you were saved? The joy that you felt when all of the burden of sin was just lifted off of your shoulders and your heart felt clean and you could raise holy hands to God. Do you remember what it felt like then? And that no matter what, you were determined to shake the pastor's hand. You were determined to come forth and pray. You were determined to accept Jesus Christ and the pardon of his sins. You were determined, and nobody was going to stop you. It's that same dedication, that same fervor that allows for us to have success walking with God. We can't grow. We can't be strong. We can't be mighty in God if we're not willing to dedicate ourselves to God. I don't know, this may not seem like a happy message, but I'm encouraged. I really am. We need to remember God, we need to revere God, and we need to respect the things of God in our lives. And if we do that, I promise you that God would give you joy. He said that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Seek the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Seek the Lord God and love Him. We love Him today because He loved us first. Amen. That's the God that we serve. And so I'm thankful that you hear me today. I pray that God would take this word again and hide it in your hearts that we might not sin against Him, and that we would go forth, men and women, as mighty as God would have us to be in the word of the Lord. Church, say amen. Amen. Amen again.